Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is good to be back studying from the Terrorized Bible Study Day Break. And last week, she did such a wonderful job just storying the first chapter of Ruth.
Yay.
And we learned just a little bit of background of who Ruth is and her situation. And this week, we're going to be talking about the sovereignty of God.
Mm. God is amazing. He's absolutely amazing. I would like, Sabrina, if you would open up to Ephesians 6:7, because I want you to read a verse for us.
I love Ephesians.
And I wanted to bring up something that we talked about, how Ruth is a book that shows us God's redemption, and we're seeing how redemption comes through. And I wanted to bring up another historical point that most people may or may not know, depending. Okay, Ruth is of four non-Israelite women that are named in the lineage of Jesus. And it's really fun to see the women that are a part of Jesus' lineage that Scripture, God, when he had Scripture laid out, felt we needed to know. Mm-hmm. And Tamar, which she was the one that set herself up as a harlot when her father-in-law refused to provide her as a husband to bear. And so we want to see Tamar was one of them. Rahab is the other one, which was the harlot of Jericho. Mm-hmm. Then we have Ruth, who is the Moabitess, which we know how her lineage came about. And then Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah that David had an affair with while Uriah was at battle and became the mother of Solomon. The lineage of Christ shows us that God uses all people.
Mm-hmm.
All people. And as Sabrina was sharing last week when we were talking about the book of Ruth, one of the joys of the book of Ruth is that it reveals to us how God will take even the person that no one wants or mm-hmm. would expect, a foreigner, and will show love through them. What I want us to really focus in on today is what Ruth provided for Naomi. Now, Sabrina, would you read for us Ephesians 6:7, because she really fulfills this verse, this New Testament verse, even though this verse wasn't written at the time.
Render service with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord.
Amen.
Wow.
Okay. That's a good verse. Okay. I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, serve wholeheartedly mm-hmm. as if you are serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever he does. Ruth did not know this, as in like she didn't have this verse to read.
Right.
But there was something in her character mm-hmm. that lived it. And we saw that on the road. It was a dirt road. I can't imagine. And we're told through commentators it was 50 miles, okay, that they were journeying. And then all of a sudden, it comes to a point where Orpah leaves and Ruth remains. And Ruth prays a prayer, and she doesn't pray. We make it a prayer today. She says a mm-hmm. word, and it's actually usually used in weddings. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read it exactly from Scripture. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Mm-hmm. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be mm-hmm. it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.
That was my wedding verse.
You know what? We had that in our wedding as well. And Greg, I love you, and I commit all over again to my beloved that verse again. Mm. And we need to do that often. What I want us to see is that there is a powerful impact when we are willing to give our presence to another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Naomi realized at this very moment that Ruth was determined to stay with her, and so she allowed her to walk on with her, and because she had that determinedness, Naomi, now had what Scripture refers to as a shoulder to shoulder as they walk through this journey. And I want you to think, who's the person that has walked shoulder to shoulder with you? I mean, have you had a trial or a tribulation in your life? And it was interesting because as I was preparing and studying for this, I was reminded of a time in our lives when we moved here from Houston, Texas. My husband's company, Enron, had collapsed, and we had to leave our ministries. We moved here. We knew no one. And I had a good friend named Tammy that she just came alongside us shoulder to shoulder and lifted us up. Didn't matter what our past was or where we had been. She just knew that we were a new people in a new land and that we needed a home and a friend. And she became that for us. And it just so incredibly humbled us because we didn't feel deserving of what she did, but she still did it. And that is what Ruth did for Naomi. By going with Naomi, she doesn't know that a person from the nation of Israel would marry her.
Right.
She has no clue. As a young woman who's never had children, she has committed her life to being the caretaker of a widow. And on top of that, she is a widow. I mean, she has committed her life to a life of probably extreme poverty. She has committed herself. And so despite the fact that Elimelech left Bethlehem, the place of the bread, because of famine, and went to a land that was not a part of the promise, and despite the fact that his sons married a Moabite, and despite the fact that he died and his sons died, and Naomi refers to herself as bitter, there was something in Naomi's life and Elimelech's life that Ruth met God.
Wow.
And knew that God was real.
I love it.
And that God's presence was powerful enough that she was willing to sacrifice everything in order to come shoulder to shoulder with Naomi. And one of the truths that we will grasp from Ruth is that it reveals the sovereignty of God, that God has a hand in the things that are happening, and that he has sovereign control over everything. Sovereign means that God is in control. And Sabrina, I want you to go ahead and open up to Psalm 115:3, and I want you to read it to us. Remind me, what's your translation that you read from?
This is the Holman Christian Standard.
The Holman, okay. And I want us, the Psalm 115:3 shows us in a simple explanation, a great wording for the word sovereign of God, sovereignty of God.
Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases.
Ouch. This morning I was reading in Isaiah 44, and it says that God gives wealth and God gives destruction. You know, that is sovereignty. He is the one that chooses who gets, and he is the one who chooses who does not get.
He's the potter.
That's right. And so when we complain about our place, our position, our program, whatever it is, we are actually complaining against the sovereignty of God. That right there should stop our mouths. What I want us to get is that we have to be willing to accept in all circumstances, whether it's good or bad, that God is sovereign and he is in control. And to come to that place where we recognize that the sovereignty is always at work, and that even in our pain and our suffering, God is still on the throne. And when we recognize that, then that's when our character will begin to reveal itself in a mighty way. Now, what I'd like for us to do is, if you have your Bible, I'm going to story a little bit from Ruth 2. So Ruth and Naomi are now in the land of Bethlehem in the place of bread, okay, as Sabrina shared with us a week before. And there is a relative on her husband's side of Elimelech, and he was a man known for great standing, and his name was Boaz. Ruth decided, she said to Naomi, she says, let me go into the fields and let me go and see if I can get us some grain, some things to eat. And Naomi, of course, gave her the blessing because they needed food. So as she went out, she was gleaning in the fields with the harvesters. It turned out that she was harvesting in Boaz's field. All right, I'm going to pause for a second. Sovereignty of God at work, okay?
Right.
Just then, as Boaz was returning from another place, he greeted his harvesters, and he says to them, the Lord bless you. And his harvesters called back, the Lord bless you. And as this happened, he said, he's looking out in the fields, and he goes, who is that woman over there? And they said, oh, that's the Moabitess that came back with Naomi. She asked if she could glean in our field, and we told her yes. And as he was listening to what they said, he walked over to Ruth and he said, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean anywhere else. I want you to stay right mm-hmm. here. Stay in my field with my men, and you may follow along behind them, because if you go to another field, you might have something bad happen to you. I want you to stay here, and you'll be safe. If you're thirsty, we'll give you a drink. If you need something, it's yours, okay? And at this, she fell down to the ground in complete humility, and she says, Why have I found favor in your eyes? I am just a foreigner. And Boaz says, I have heard and seen what you have done with your mother-in-law since the death of her husband. And I've seen what you have done since you've been here. May God repay you and reward you for what you have done. And she's just stunned. I mean, this complete stranger has given her food, he's given her water, he's given her provision for work, and now he says, I honor you because the way you've honored your mother-in-law. And at this point, she falls down and she says, may I continue to find favor in your eyes. And as mealtime came, and it was such a great blessing, he went out and he said, come join us. And he said, dip your grain into the vinegar. It'll make it taste better. And so she ate, and he gave her enough that she was able to even take back grain to Naomi. She gleaned all day long, and when she was done with her gleaning, she realized that they had been leaving her extra. So, I mean, she had gathered a lot of grain. And her mother-in-law asked, where did you go today? Where have you been? What are you doing? What happened? And Ruth says, mother-in-law, to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she says, I was working in the field of Boaz. And Naomi, just, you could see almost that she clasped her hand. Oh, the Lord bless him. Bless him. The thrill and excitement of what has happened. She recognizes the sovereignty of God is working. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. She said, that man is the close relative of my husband, Elimelech. And then Ruth said, he even said to me that I could stay and I could work here as long as I needed to. And Naomi said, it is good for you to stay so that you're safe. You will be safe as long as you are in his fields. So Ruth stayed in the fields through harvest time with Boaz's harvesters. Mm-hmm. Now, this is huge. I mean, the sovereignty of God, you know, so oftentimes we'll joke and say, oh, that's such a coinkadink. And I don't know who started it or where the phrase began, but I'm sure that those that are longtime believers have heard the phrase God incidents.
Yeah.
Okay. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And he will provide for the one that is willing to seek him and find him.
And I think a lot of people right now, I know, especially I think of as a single mom, because she, at this point, she's not a mother, but she's a widow. And the widow or the single mother out there, just to know that you just keep pressing on towards Christ and he'll come and meet you where you're at. A lot of times I feel that women seek for something to feel, you know, just like Naomi, needing a husband in our society, you get value from. And God is just saying, you keep doing what you're called to do. Love me, and I'll meet you where you're at.
That's
it. And whatever that looks like.
That's exactly right. It reminds me, right now, I've really, and it's not in the book of Ruth, but it reminds me so much of the day that Peter was walking through the gate called Beautiful. And I think I even said this last month. I'll probably be saying it a lot because right now in my life, personally, this particular passage is really transforming me. And the beggar was laying on the ground and he reached up his hand and said, give me alms. And Peter looked at him and he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have in Christ I give you. And he reached out his hand, picked him up, and the man walked. And the transformation that God is working in me is that I am not required to give what I don't have. And Peter didn't have silver and gold. I don't have silver and gold. But what I have in Christ, I am to give. And essentially, that is what Ruth did. Ruth had nothing. She didn't have silver. She didn't have gold. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have grandchildren to continue the name. But what she had, she gave. And she had her strong, young body that could squat and labor in a field so that her mother-in-law could eat what she had, she gave. Mm. And that's what God wants from us. So if we are a single mom or a married mother or a working father or a working single man, a college student, a student in high school, it doesn't matter our age or where we come from or what we've been through. What matters is that where we're at with what we have, we give it to God. And that goes back to that Ephesians verse, mm-hmm. you know, to
render
serve wholeheartedly,
yourself, right.
completely, that serving wholeheartedly. Because the actions of what we do, it reveals the impact of God's love, His loyal love in us. And that is one of the next truths that we capture, that Ruth's testimony in the book of Ruth reveals the impact of what loyal love will look like.
Mm.
And I said it earlier, it's called Hesed, and I want to define it for you.
Yeah, is that H-E-S-E-D?
It is, Hesed. Okay. It is, and it's kindness or covenant loyalty. It's loyal love, a covenant of faithfulness, it's steadfastness. It's also extended when it's not deserved. Okay.
Like grace.
Completely. It is very much the image of grace and very much the image of grace. In fact, I wrote a quote. I want to have to flip because I wrote this down and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to share this. Listen to this one. Rod Mattoon is a commentator, and he wrote that grace is when God makes the first move.
Mm.
Okay. Isn't that good?
Love that.
Loyal love will make the first move.
That.
And even with children, this is powerful because we have in our home, I have three children. I have Michaela, Grant, and Junwoo. Junwoo is our foreign exchange student from Korea. And I love my three kids so much. And oftentimes in our home, I might have a situation come up, and I won't name names, but it'll come down to somebody will say, but, you know, I wanted that. Something simple, like we're playing a game.
Yeah.
You know, and I want color blue, or I want color red, or I want yellow, or I want white. And I will often remind my children that the one who seeks to be the more mature in love will be the one that will be willing to let go. And then all of a sudden, everybody will be scrambling to be the one to let go. And then the battle is who actually gets that color. Loyal love will move first. And that's what Ruth did for Naomi. My question is, you're listening, there's a situation right now in your life, and I know it's real, and someone needs you to be the one to do loyal love. How are you going to be the one to give grace in the first move? God moved for you. Who are you going to move for God? In Jesus' name, I look forward to hearing about it. Write to us at terrorwrite.com. God bless.